Ace Podcast.
Hi, this is Adam, the superior host of Misguided Consultation, and you are listening to the always family-friendly Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone on the Ace Podcast Network.
Coming up on this episode, Atlanta Falcons fans no doubt were calling Tom Brady all sorts of names after this month's Super Bowl. And that, what, like winner?
Yeah. Like, yeah, champion.
And now the city has a cockroach named after the New England quarterback.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
I never would have thought a hot dog was a sandwich.
I think a hot dog is a sandwich.
But it does qualify, bread,
yeah,
meat.
You got two pieces of bread and a meat.
It's although a sandwich it's, you eat sideways.
Is it two pieces of bread or because they're connected?
It's technically one piece of bread.
That's not a sandwich then. That is not a sandwich.
Well, I guess not.
It sounds like a drink you get at McDonald's.
You know, you can't make this stuff up.
I want a hamburger, a fries,
and
a McJagger.
I want a McJagger. I want it smooth like Jagger. Hey, so
all this and more on this episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
10, 9, 10. We have ignition sequence start. Engines on. 5, 4, 3.
Hey there. Welcome to another episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. I'm Craig.
I'm Aaron, and I'm fresh home from Orlando PodFest 2017. Very excited to be recording today.
It's in the can.
It's over, and it's done, and I learned a lot. Met a lot of great people, Craig.
I did, too. I had a really good time there. I felt that I learned a lot of... I didn't go.
PodFest. Well, you're going to represent the two dudes next year.
Says you.
But until that time, let's get back to the weird news, because we are Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone, the podcast that brings you the best in weird news, strange stories, and, you know, just funny stuff twice a week.
And we're not coming from the Lee Berry Studios this
week. We are in our alternate studio this week.
Yeah.
Lee Berry Studios is closed today for a renovation or something.
I don't know what's happening.
Something. They're not
waxing
open.
The floors. They're buffing or something.
Vacuuming.
Yeah.
Something.
I don't know.
I don't know.
You ready?
You got top story?
Yep. Top story. Man's pet squirrel. Is this about Randall?
This is for Randall.
Oh, for Randall.
This story dedicated to Randall going out.
I thought you were having a seizure. You're right.
It's typical me.
Man's pet squirrel unleashes surprise attack on burglar.
Oh, from Idaho.
A burglar who broke into an Idaho man's house to ransack his gun collection encountered a formidable security force. You know what that was?
What?
A pet squirrel named Joey.
Oh, I bet it was named after Joey Ramone.
You think?
I bet.
Is it because he was playing three chords?
Yeah, that's all he knew.
That's all he knew. Adam Pearl told KIVI that he knew something wasn't right when he arrived home February 7th and found snowy footprints leading around to the back of his property.
They were little tiny footprints.
Little itty-bitty ones. Once inside, he found doors opened and scratches on the gun case. A few small items were missing from his home. Pearl called the police, and Officer Ashley Turner, you know Ashley Turner.
Yeah, I know Ashley.
Came out to take a report. She was startled by Pearl's pet squirrel and asked Pearl if Joey would bite. According to the report, Pearl said the squirrel normally didn't bite, but he couldn't rule it out.
You know what I asked Randall about? You and I both asked
he
Randall
scratches.
About it. Yeah,
he
said his squirrel, was it Maybell? Was that the name?
No.
Something like that?
Something McSquirrely Squirrel. I forget the name of it.
But he said
I don't remember.
His squirrel does not bite, but will scratch the fire out of people. And we've seen proof of that.
How'd be cool if you could actually scratch the fire out of someone? Flames shoot out.
That would be cool.
Anyway, Turner left. Can I get back to the story?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Turner left to investigate the crime, only to return to Pearl's residence a few hours later with some of Pearl's stolen merchandise.
Another thing, Pearl.
When questioning the suspect, Turner noticed he had scratches on his hand and asked if he got them from a squirrel. The man said the squirrel would... Okay, I feel like I have missed an entire part of a story here.
I don't think you have. It's me interrupting you that's throwing off
and
your
it just,
time.
No, it jumped from... She was startled by the squirrel.
Yeah.
And the squirrel doesn't normally bite.
Yeah.
And then it said that Turner left.
Right, to investigate.
Only to return a few hours later with some of Pearl's merchandise.
Yeah, because she caught
somebody. And this is when questioning the suspect. Well, where did the suspect enter the story?
She caught him when she was investigating.
But she never told us that part.
No, she did not.
I thought there's an entire segment that we don't know about.
Well,
I need to know what happened from the time she found out the squirrel didn't bite until she came back with some of the merchandise.
We could make up something.
Okay, so she left, right?
Yeah.
And she
went to get a burger.
Got a burger.
Yeah.
And a guy came in with a bunch of scratches on him.
He said, hey, you want to buy a gun?
And she said,
where'd you get that?
Yeah, where'd you get that?
Yeah.
Where'd you get those scratches?
Why are you all scratched up?
Okay, so that felt better now.
Okay.
Anyway, so when she was questioning the suspect, she noticed that he had scratches on his hand and asked if he had got them from a squirrel, which is kind of an odd thing to ask somebody. The man said the squirrel wouldn't stop attacking him until he left the house.
I had to get out of there.
Pearl said Joey is basking in his heroic actions by enjoying his favorite treat, Whopper's candy.
Whopper's candy.
That's pretty good candy. Malted balls.
Yeah, they're good.
Chocolate malted balls. Yeah, they're good.
They're good.
Not as good as Boston baked beans.
I love Boston baked beans.
That's all you're talking about today.
My wife said that that's old person candy. And my dad used to bring them home to me after work when I was a kid.
They're all right. I mean, I do like them. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're good. I like French roast peanuts, too.
Yeah. I'm glad everybody's riveted by this conversation.
Okay. Headline is, Ontario man shoots himself while making a necklace out of a bullet on Valentine's Day.
I want to interrupt you right now, but I don't want to. I want to know what happened. Go ahead.
Okay. Police say a 50-year-old.
I can't wait to find out what happened.
Is this payback?
No. I just want you to go because I can't wait to find out.
Police say.
If you could just get to it and let us know. Please.
Aaron, please.
Oshawa, let us know what happened.
Ontario man suffered a leg wound after attempting to make a necklace out of a bullet on Valentine's Day.
Was it merely a flesh wound?
Durham Regional Police responded to the home in Oshawa just after 5 p.m. Tuesday after a man allegedly shot himself in the leg while attempting to pull apart a bullet with vice grips.
Oh, no.
Police, the gunpowder inside the bullet caused it to explode and hit the man's thigh, while several bullet casing fragments also struck his leg.
I wonder if he hit the primer.
He must have. I don't know. Police said the man was trying to make a necklace with a bullet and didn't realize the explosion could happen.
Instead, he made some neck holes.
Where's this guy from?
From Oshawa.
If you go do some research.
Wait a minute. Is this in Canada?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Well, they don't have guns in Canada.
That's okay. Police said the man was. Okay, I read that. If you go do some research on what's in a bullet, It's not something you want to make a necklace out of, police spokesman Dave Shelby said.
If you take out the powder.
Yeah. You could go to the store and just buy the bullet part.
I mean,
that'd be much easier.
Probably, yeah.
The unidentified man was taken to hospital.
Oh, he was identified. He was the guy with the hole in his neck.
Surgery was performed to remove the bullet and casing fragments from his leg. No charges were filed, and the bullet was lawfully owned.
Who are you going to charge? What are you going to charge him with? Shooting himself in the neck?
Charge the bullet? Police are reminding residents not to try to manipulate ammunition in this way due to risk of explosion. The reason why we put it out, obviously, is not in humor. It's the public education piece here, Selby said. Ammunition is live. It's not a toy. It should be dealt with carefully, Craig.
Let's unpack this.
Okay, go ahead.
But aim it the other direction while you're unpacking.
Don't point it at me.
Dude's trying to take the lead off the end of the bullet.
You know why? He's making a necklace for his girlfriend.
Making a necklace.
What says I love you more than a bullet?
That's what
around your neck.
I've always heard that.
Yes.
It's like a love letter here in the South.
It's like a bullet on a rope or a necklace.
What you said.
Yeah.
Hey, you like stories about zoos like me.
I do.
I definitely like stories that have to do with cockroaches.
We do have a lot of cockroaches. We're going to have to come up with a cockroach theme. Something.
Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Atlanta Zoo welcomes baby cockroach Tom Brady.
Why would you name a cockroach Tom Brady?
I don't know, but I have a feeling this is going to lean towards sports. And
He's like the greatest football player ever.
I'm not going to get the humor because I don't know the sports kit ball like everybody else.
I'm not a big fan of Tom Brady, but I've got a feeling since this isn't in Atlanta, they've got a chip on their shoulder because he beat them in the Super Bowl.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to try to act like I know what I'm talking
about. Go ahead.
Atlanta Falcons, that's a football team if you didn't know.
Yes, it is. NFL.
Those fans were no doubt. Is that Gwen Stefani was one of their fans?
Don't speak.
You'll try this. We're going to try this again.
Okay.
Atlanta Falcons fans, no doubt, were calling Tom Brady all sorts of names after this month's Super Bowl. And that, what, like winner?
Yeah. champion.
And now the city has a cockroach named after the New England quarterback. Brady and the Patriots proved hard to kill off. They did there.
I see it.
In the Super Bowl, and Zoo Atlanta commemorated New England's historic 25-point comeback victory by paying off a losing bet to its northern counterpart.
Yep.
The Atlanta Zoo and the Roger Williams Park Carousel Village in Rhode Island had agreed the losing side would name a baby animal after the winning team's star quarterback.
Now it's making sense.
I made a little interesting bet there.
Yeah,
little
it
friendly,
is.
A little friendly wager.
They're thinking, you know, it's going to be a seal or
yeah,
an elephant.
Yeah, I think it's a cute little, like, otter
or koala.
Something. Yeah, they
you know. But no.
Meet the baby. We had one of these. Meet the baby Madagascar hissing cockroach.
Who had one?
I had one here.
A hissing cockroach?
Yeah.
Oh.
You go up to me and say, hey, what's up, cockroach? He goes,
he's hissy.
No, he was actually, he was, you know, he's kind of, cockroaches are disgusting, but
yeah.
Actually, these are kind of cool. They're giant, exotic kind of cockroach.
I've seen people keep them as pets.
And we feed them like a piece of dog food and stuff.
You're
like
sure, that. They'll eat anything.
But I found a way to kill the cockroach because eventually he died.
You could drop like a match in there and he'd eat it.
Yeah, but they were,
How'd you kill it?
Make a noise. I don't know, he just gave up one day. But he make like noise, they make like a little clicking, like a hissing type noise, but he was real chill. I mean, he wouldn't bite or anything. You just pick him up. He'd the kids,
I'm not
at the time, the kids were younger and they thought it was the coolest thing. I got him right over here at the high school when they had some kind of an event and there was a guy from a bug company there and he brought it as a gimmick and he had some and he gave them away to people.
Well, that's weird.
It was kind
of you know what he's thinking. These things are going to get out and they're going to have to call me to clean their house.
Well, I only took one. I was like, I was not about to take more than one. Can we get back to the story about Atlanta?
Yeah, go ahead.
So there was this wager, right?
Yeah, between Atlanta.
Yeah, between Atlanta and the Roger Williams Park Carousel Village, and which they need to lower.
Man, that's a long
shorten
name.
Shorten their name. So we're going to call it the RWPCV in Rhode Island. Anyway, meet baby Madagascar hitching cockroach Tom Brady.
That's wrong.
Named after the Super Bowl's most valuable player who led the Patriots from a 28-3 third quarter deficit to a 34-28 overtime victory.
Yeah, it's a great game. Best Super Bowl ever, no doubt.
I have nothing to base that on.
Yeah.
Figuring the losing side would be pretty bitter about it, we came up with an agreement that the baby animal would be a Madagascar hitching cockroach. So without further ado, meet the newly named program animal family?
What is it, a robot?
I don't know. Anyway, they announced it. They showed a picture of it on Instagram. One of the largest species of cockroach, growing up to 7 centimeters, which is about 3 inches,
yeah.
Madagascar hitching hissing cockroaches are found inside of rotting logs, Craig's house, and some people keep them as pets. Actually, that was me. I was the last part there.
Yeah, you keep them as pets.
That's why he found it in my house. But that was years ago, and he's gone. As far as I know, none of his family members were here.
But you had one.
I had one. It was kind of cool.
Did your cockroach have a Snuggie?
No. I've got a Snuggie here somewhere.
Do you really?
It's not actually mine. It's my wife's. But
well, you're going to be relieved because headline is...
Snuggies are great because it's not only a blanket.
Wait a minute. Don't get ahead of me. You're about to get ahead of me.
It's two things.
I haven't. No, it's not.
Is it three?
No, it's okay. One thing. The court has ruled. Headline is, a court just ruled on what a Snuggie actually is.
Shouldn't the inventor be the one that rules that?
It's a blanket. That's what the court said. It's a blanket.
It is a blanket, but it's a blanket with sleeves.
A more important question, then, is a hot dog a sandwich?
I never would have thought a hot dog was a sandwich.
I think a hot dog is a sandwich.
But it does qualify. Bread,
yeah,
meat.
You got two pieces of bread and a meat.
It's a sandwich you eat sideways.
Is it two pieces of bread, or because they're connected?
It's technically one piece of bread.
That's not a sandwich, then. That is not a sandwich.
Well, I guess not.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Okay. Has been
maybe we should go see this judge.
By a federal trade court, is a Snuggie a blanket?
Why was this a thing?
I don't know. Bloomberg BNA said that the answer is yes, meaning that at least for tariff purposes, the cozy, fleecy coverings aren't considered to be robes or priestly vestments.
Oh, this has to...
What if our pastor wore a Snuggie as a robe?
First of all, we don't have a pastor that wears a robe.
That's
so
our
that
pastor
would be,
doesn't
that would,
wear
that
a robe.
Would be odd. That would be odd to begin with.
Our pastor wears jeans.
Wears jeans.
Most
and,
of the time.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Okay, so this was the Justice Department's argument about all that stuff, which was struck down Friday by the Court of International Trades, Judge Mark Barnett. Hey, I love Survivor, Mark Barnett.
Yeah.
Didn't he do that?
He produced that.
Yeah. Who pointed out that the Snuggie is promoted by maker All-Star Marketing Group more like a blanket than clothing. Its packaging even calls it the blanket with sleeves. That's got to be the easiest case this judge has ever...
So this has to do with...
Tariffs.
Coming in and out of countries
yes.
and stuff with it.
Yes,
or something.
Shipping.
Well, okay, so truthfully... This is really stupid.
Yes, it's a blanket with sleeves, and the smiling people sporting it in ads are usually in situations where one would use a blanket, including in bed or while sitting in the cold at a sports event. Easy. I could have judged this case.
I just want to know why I didn't think of putting sleeves on a blanket.
No.
Why couldn't I have thought of that?
That's pretty cool.
No, pretty warm.
Yeah. Courts notes that the battle between All-Star and the Justice Department on the Snuggie status has been waged for nearly a decade. 10 years they've been arguing that this thing is just a blanket or not. The Department of Justice insisted that because the Snuggie has sleeves, it resembles clerical or ecclesiastical garments and vestments.
Wow.
And professional or scholastic gowns and robes. So they're saying you got to pay more tariff.
Hold up. So this is an issue, apparently.
Right.
It's not. Do we have that big of an issue of like preachers, ministers, pastors, whatever you'd like to call them.
Judges, even.
Judges. Yeah. These guys trying to get into a country and really trying to catch a break on the taxes coming in.
Apparently we do. The sleeves, Barnett added.
How much can it possibly cost?
Okay, I'm getting to that.
A Snuggie's $20, probably.
Yeah.
How much could you possibly
pay? Hang on. I'm about to tell you. The sleeves, Barnett added, were simply to keep the Snuggie from sliding off the user while still allowing the user to do things with his or her hands. The difference in tariff price, you ask? Craig, importers bringing in the Snuggie as a blanket will only pay 8.5% in duty tax instead of 14.9%.
Okay, so these are about people that import.
Yes.
Import-export.
Yes.
Importing.
But a benefit to this judgment is that we all now know that the Snuggie, it's a blanket.
I would have said it was a blanket from the beginning.
Me too.
It's just a blanket. It's got sleeves.
Yeah. Hey, look what you did. You started me up.
It's a Mick Jagger joke. If I just had a Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger has Mick an Jagger. Unpublished memoir,
that
but he
like
doesn't remember writing it.
It sounds like a drink you get at McDonald's.
You know, you can't make this stuff up.
I want a hamburger, a fries,
and
a
Mick Jagger.
Jagger.
I want a Mick Jagger. I want it smooth like Jagger. Hey, so Mick Jagger has an unpublished memoir, but
yeah.
Not surprisingly, he doesn't remember writing it.
What? It must be short.
It could happen to any of us, really.
Really?
One moment, you're the internationally recognized superstar singer for one of the biggest rock bands in history.
Hey, can we talk about the Stones during this? Because how are they still standing straight up, much less touring and jumping all over the stage?
Well, Mick is an anomaly anyway. He's a freak. He's a little skinny
guy. What
about
Keith Richards?
Keith has got to deal with the devil. Actually, Keith is pickled.
Too.
Keith is pickled.
I think they all made a big deal with Big Red.
I don't want to. I would like to think that didn't happen. But
I think it did.
Big Red.
Yeah. That was a rumor when I was growing up. You know, everybody
said,
that's
not Jimmy Page. Same thing.
Yeah.
It was cool at one point to say if one of these rock bands has been around for a long time or something, any kind of exoticness to them, they had to deal with the devil.
Yeah. So I guess Jim Morrison turned the deal down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah. They said, no way, Jose.
All right. He goes, how'd you know my middle name was Jose?
Big Jose Red.
Can I get going now on this
story? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So anyway,
I wanted to bring that up.
Anyway, so one minute.
They're in their 80s. They're not young people. Mick is 80 years old.
Yeah.
And he's still running up and down the stairs and hooping and hollering.
I feel like I'm running up and down the steps trying to just tell this story.
Okay, go ahead. I was just making a point.
I should try that. Try telling a story while I'm rubbing down the steps.
No wonder he doesn't remember writing his memoir.
Oh, is that what the story's about? Because no one's heard it yet.
I thought you did the headline.
I know. Would it be okay if I could... Now are you done?
Yes, I'm just amazed.
You go away on one trip, you come back, and you're like, you're like the big cheese. You just can't... Here we go.
Go ahead.
So anyway, one moment, you're an internationally recognized superstar singer for one of the biggest rock bands in history. The next, you don't remember cranking out an entire autobiography you somehow wrote in between dance rehearsals and practicing sexy pouting in front of the mirror.
He can dance.
They're insinuating that he took dance lessons and he pouts in front of a mirror.
He invented his own dance. He's got that Jagger dance, which is awesome.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He throws his shoulders back.
Well, also, and some cocaine, too.
Probably,
this says. Regardless... That's the situation Mick Jagger finds himself in. The Times reports the Rolling Stone frontman actually penned a 75,000-word memoir in the early 80s, but when the publisher John Blake, who was given the book back in 2014, approached Jagger to authenticate the memoir after initially being told he would pen a new foreword about how the recollections were written long ago and far away, eventually met with the equivalent of wild horses dragging the manuscript away from publication.
This is a hard story to understand.
Weren't they just trying to say when he went and asked Mick, he didn't remember? So
I think that's it, yeah. I don't remember writing that, mate.
Yeah, I don't remember. Well, what?
Yeah, what?
Mate.
Yeah.
Was he Australian?
No, but the fella
Jagger,
he's talking to.
Yeah. Australian for rock.
The fella he's talking to is from down under.
And unlike the normal situation where you or I write a 75,000 words
that's a big
about
book.
Ourselves... and then lose all memory of having done so, Jagger's memoir actually contains interesting anecdotes people might like to know about. For example.
He doesn't remember those either.
Right. For example, Blake says the book includes details of the tedium of looking at Keith. Tedium.
It's very tedious.
Of looking at Keith Richards' scraggy, monkey-like bottom night after night. He also bought a mansion while high on acid and leapt onto a stallion that roared off like it was a Ferrari.
Good night.
That was a quote, like it was a Ferrari. And sure, those are the kinds of events that might be significant life events for the average human.
Yes, yes.
But when you've forgotten more TV appearances than most people have watched in their entire lives, it's just another decade or so of jaw-dropping experiences to be cast aside like so many empty eight balls. talking pool here.
No, we're not. But I would like to read. I bet he would, too. He would probably find this memoir very interesting.
Let's just write. Who wrote this?
I'd like to live a life like this.
You know, he came to town a while back.
Yeah, at the Parthenon.
At the time, my office was right next to there, and he didn't stop by and say a word.
He didn't come over and say hello?
Nope.
He didn't say, stop me, ugh.
Well, somebody said they stopped, and he was talking, and they were just sitting there by the Parthenon. They said, well, you want to go and talk to Craig? He said, well, no, I'm actually waiting on someone. I'm not waiting on a lady.
He said,
waiting on a friend.
Just waiting on a friend.
Please don't ever let that happen again.
Okay, Ocala. We're going to Ocala.
Where's that?
Florida.
Well, I thought you just got back from Florida.
I did.
So you're going to go back now?
Yep. You ready?
Yep.
Headline is...
Wait, do we have Florida music?
Yes. In Florida, headline is... Ocala man accused of plotting to blow up Target stores.
Old Cala man?
No, not Old Cala. Ocala.
Canada?
Ocala.
Canada.
An Ocala man on Thursday is accused of plotting to blow up Target stores on the East Coast, including Florida.
It's a good gig if you can get it.
Just to lower the retail giant's stock, authorities said.
Okay.
So he.
It's Mark Barnett again.
It is.
No, it's back
good
Barnett.
Night.
It's Barnett.
48-year-old Mark Barnett had already made bombs, but in January of this year, he offered money to a person listed as a confidential source in a criminal complaint, according to officials. So he was going to. He had this idea. He's going to blow up a bunch of these Target stores, and the stock would plummet.
Right.
And he was going to rush in, buy up all this stock, and then when the new stores were built, he would get rich. That's the way he's thinking. Barnett then had offered the confidential source $10,000 to deliver packages to multiple locations, including Florida, New York,
Never
Virginia.
Mind the murder.
No.
The arson.
Right.
Just everything else that goes with it.
It's a very selfish man here, this Mark Barnett.
The terrorist, the terrorism charge.
So he just had his birthday, too, yesterday. Barnett, who turns 49 on Saturday, created at least 10 explosive devices and disguised them in food packaging, according to investigators. He wrapped them up in like some hot chili sauce or something, you know, explosive.
He put them in one of those giant balls out in front of Target, and then
just gonna one
of them went off, and then it dislodged it. Now we know the rest of the story.
During one of their meetings, Barnett told the confidential source to be careful with that box that it contained the explosives. Hey, you might not want to drop that. Be real careful. When the confidential source asked whether the boxes would kill the confidential source, Barnett responded.
Yes, I feel obligated to ask you as the confidential source, will this box kill the confidential source?
He said, don't worry about it. They'll just take your hand off.
Yeah.
It's no issue.
Don't worry. It's no big deal.
The confidential source eventually gave the explosive device to Florida's Department of Law Enforcement and the Bureau of Tobacco, Alcohol, Firearms, Explosives. Said the criminal complaint.
He's like, you guys take this.
Barnett, please. Barnett wanted Target's stock to fall so he could buy shares cheap, stated investigators. This guy, he had to have some intelligence if he's thinking about purchasing stocks for his future.
I'm sure he's a great guy. Read the next line. He's probably a great guy who's just looking to help out.
According to the criminal complaint, Barnett is a registered sex offender who is on probation for felony offenses that include kidnapping, multiple counts of sexual battery, and a weapon or force and grand theft. So this guy has high dreams of being a crime super criminal.
Yeah.
Like
Lex Luthor.
Yes, exactly. That's what he's going after. So he's been charged with possession of a destructive device affecting commerce by a previously convicted felon, according to the U.S. Department. If convicted, he could face 10 years
in the Stony Lonesome.
In the old pen.
That reminds me, that plan right there reminds me of the two idiots in the Nashville area one time that planned on blowing up the old Hickory Dam. No, the Percy Priest Dam.
To flood everything.
To flood Nashville so they could scuba dive in to downtown and steal from all the like jewelry stores and all this kind of stuff.
We could write a movie.
I mean, They actually thought that was going to happen.
It's a crazy world.
Like the water wouldn't just flow outward and just even out somewhere.
Crazy world, Craig. Somebody ought to sell tickets.
Why do I keep getting the sports-related stuff?
I didn't plan that. I didn't do it on purpose.
Colorado man takes baseball bat to car. Well, I've taken one to a car before.
Sure, I put it in the trunk.
You just open the trunk up, throw it in the back, go to the park. He leaves a note apologizing for his having anger
issues.
I'm guessing this is a typo, or the man has something called anger issues.
No, that's how he wrote it.
Issues.
That's why they put it in quotes.
Okay, so in Carbondale, Colorado.
That's a great place.
It's in western Colorado.
Yeah, that's where they do all the carbon dating.
A man battered someone else's pickup with a baseball bat and then left a note.
You're going to have to spell this out.
Yeah. Left a note that says, I'm going to pronounce it first.
Okay.
The note he left said, sorry, anger isushesh. Sorry is spelled.
That makes it all okay, too.
S-O-R-R-Y-Y. Anger spelled correctly.
Yes.
Issues, I-S-U-S-E-S-H.
Issues-ish.
He spells about as good as most people I see on Facebook.
Not only does he have anger issues.
He's got spelling issues. The Glenwood Springs Post-Independent. Again, someone with entirely too long of a name.
Yeah.
The GSPI reported that the attack occurred in January near Carbondale. The pickup owner found the damage and a note when he returned for snowmobiling. Two other witnesses told police another snowmobiler apparently thought the pickup had parked too close to his vehicle.
So
the witnesses say they heard whacking sounds.
Whack!
And one saw the other snowmobiler swinging a bat. They told police they insisted he leave a note. I don't know why they told the police to leave a note.
Police were here.
Yeah, hi. We were just here.
We have arresting issues.
They said he was then able to leave his parking spot with no problem. Well, yeah, because he beat the car into a smaller.
He took the bat to the car.
Yeah.
All right. Flaz, it's time for the Flaz Chakas.
I talked to Flaz.
Did you this morning?
Not this morning, but I've talked to Flaz about it. I said, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, you've been listening?
Has he?
Flaz named after you now.
Yeah.
I said, you know, as a listener, we listen to you.
Yes.
And I think he was excited that it was now called the Flaz Chakas Top 10.
It is. It's brought to you by Flaz Chakas.
So, hey, right now,
yes,
as we speak,
yeah,
start that beautiful theme music.
All right.
That's really good music.
It's not bad.
It makes me happy.
It's top 10 music is what it is.
Top 10 best songs of all time.
Okay, this is a very debatable list. Comes to us from the same site where everybody votes.
It's
okay?
Not debatable. It's debatable.
Debatable.
You said debatable.
Debatable. Not nah, 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 nah.
Debatable.
Not nah, 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 nah.
Debatable.
So number 10, Hey Jude by the Beatles. Okay. That song deserves to be in the top 10, I believe.
Okay.
It's a great song.
Good song.
Yep.
It's hard to say what best songs of all time.
True.
Number 9.
Yes.
Like a Rolling Stone, Bob Dylan.
Okay. I think that one deserves
Not
top
a Bob
10.
Dylan fan.
I love
but that's
Bob
fine.
Dylan.
That's fine.
I'm a huge Bob Dylan fan.
Why don't you marry him?
Number 8, Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd.
That's a good song.
That is. That belongs, I think, possibly in the top 10.
I can tell you what doesn't.
What?
Number 7.
Right.
1. No. Number 7 is called 1.
Yes, it is.
By Metallica.
I agree. That should not be in the top 10. There's so many.
So many other good songs. Number 6 falls into that, too.
Number 6, If I Could Breathe. Number 6, Sweet.
That was you trying to breathe, by the way.
Number 6, Sweet Child O' Mine.
No.
Sweet Child O' Mine.
No.
By Guns N' Roses.
No.
I like the song. Don't get me wrong. But
no, that was the Pretenders.
Yeah. Number 6.
Did you catch that?
I did.
Are you keeping up?
Uh-huh.
Don't Get Me Wrong.
By the Pretenders.
Yeah.
That's not on the list.
I know, but you said Don't Get Me Wrong.
Okay.
And I said that.
Yeah.
Can we just have a moment to say that was funny?
That was funny.
No, it wasn't.
That's pretty quick.
Actually. Okay, we're number 5.
Yeah.
Hotel California.
Yeah.
Eagles.
No.
Probably one of the biggest.
Most overrated.
But one of the biggest guitar solos of all time.
I think it's an overrated song. I like the Eagles as much as the next guy, but this is not one of my favorite songs.
Well, this isn't top 10 of Aaron's favorite songs.
Well, it should be. Number 4 definitely does not belong in the top 10 list. Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana.
Is that what that smell is?
That doesn't even belong in the top 100, in my opinion.
Number 3.
Yeah.
Imagine John Lennon.
I hate that song.
No, I want you to imagine John Lennon.
I have no issue doing that.
I don't hate that song. I like the song.
I do not like that song.
And I'm not even a big fan. I mean, I'm a fan, but I'm not crazy.
Number two is probably one of my most hated songs.
What's been so overplayed?
Oh, number two, Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Please. Ugh.
Number one.
Now, this one belongs. This one does belong.
This is a good song.
It's a great song.
You ready?
Yeah.
The number one song. Top 10 best songs of all time.
I'm going from a dead dog to number one song.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mamma mia, mamma mia.
Mamma mia, let me go.
Yeah. So that one, I do think, belongs in the top 10. So half of those, I believe, are right. The other half, not so much.
Yeah, there's so many good songs. And there's so many, if you were just to first break it apart by how, you know, really good writers or bands.
There wasn't.
And then from there, how many, like, seriously huge, fantastic, whatever, writers / artists are there that weren't even mentioned?
Roll with the Changes by REO Speedwagon should
okay,
be in
well,
the top 10.
That's not going to be in the top 10.
It should be.
It's not going to be. It's an okay song, but it's not going to be in the top 10.
Before we leave, you need to ask Siri to pick a number between 1 and 37.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Pick a number between 1 and 37.
The answer is 5.
All right, number 5.
Number 5. You giving away a t-shirt.
That's what we're doing.
Number 5. You could be prepared when I ask her. What the heck?
All right, so two middle-aged dudes and a microphone t-shirt is going out to number 5, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. D. Nails.
Who's
D.
that?
D. Nails wins a two middle-aged dudes and a microphone t-shirt. He is another podcaster. His name is Dave. I know of him. So, Dave, please email me with this t-shirt size and what you and your address, and a t-shirt is on the way to you,
and
sir.
You can have any size he wants as long as it's medium.
You can have any size you want, Dave. Congratulations on winning.
You can have any size.
And we got a new review this week.
We did.
Within the last week, actually. This is from the Crazy Town podcast, who said, "This is a great, very witty podcast that keeps it family friendly. Great job, guys." How about that?
That's nice.
Isn't that nice? Thank you, Crazy Town Podcast. We appreciate it. And you are in the running for the two middle-aged dudes and a microphone t-shirt we're going to give away in April. How about that?
Hurrah.
So thank you, guys. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Everyone who's listening, thank you for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
Yes.
We're aware that there are 600,000 podcasts you could be listening to, so we really appreciate you listening.
We sure do.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and review it within your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us on Twitter at 2MADAAM or on Facebook at Two Middle-Aged Dudes. Our website is 2dudes.stream. That's the number 2dudes.stream. If you have questions or comments about the show, you can email us at middleagedudes@gmail.com.